Okay, Abbas, let's begin. We are up to Kino Yud. Before we do Kino Yud, I want to tell you one interesting thing. We have a mathematician here, Rabbi Mayeski, who will make the calculation for me. We'll do this, we'll work this out together. I came across something very interesting yesterday from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, we know that there are 24 Mishmar Sof Kehanim. Okay, this is what we concluded with yesterday, Kino Yud. Kino Yud was Eicha Yashva Chavatzeles HaShorayim. And we go on, there are 24 different expressions, 24 different stanzas in this Kino. Each kina concludes with a word in the art scroll that is in bold, which is the name of the mishmar, or the city where this mishmar lived, or the chet, the particular sin that this mishmar was guilty of, and why Hashem decided to bring an end to that mishmar. And so there are 24 different sections. So the question is, who is the one who established 24 mishmar? So Chazal tell us that Moshe established only 8. Moshe only had 8 mishmaros, but when it came time to come into came the Eretz Yisrael, Shmuel and David expanded the number of mishmaros to 24. Expanded first to 16, and then it was expanded to 24. So now you have to make the calculation: how many years in the history of Klal Yisrael? I don't have the numbers, so you can help me. Did Klal Yisrael observe the laws of Yovel and Shemitah? Are really the rules of Yovel, Shemitah, so let's assume 50. Let's assume that the year 50 is a separate Yovel year. It's 49 plus 50. So let's make that assumption. Now the reason why, okay, let's try to do it together. So from the time they came into Eretz Yisrael, okay, there were 480 years. Correct? They came in until, 440 years. 480 since Yitzias Mitzrayim. From the time they came into the Eretz Yisrael until the time of the Churban Bayis, and until the building of the Bayis region was 440 years. The Bayis Rishon stood for 410 years. Mm-hmm. And the Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years. So what is that a grand total of?
1270.
Now, there were 70 years, Chazal said it's a Chazal. I didn't bring it with me, the Chassam Sofer. Chazal said that during the time, there was a Tkufa of about 70 years. Who was it? Maybe it was during the time of the Golus of Sancheirif. The Golus when the Aseres HaShatim were exiled, the majority of Klal Yisrael was not there for, I'm not exactly sure, but it was a Chazal, about 70 years when they did not have the conditions, even during the time of the Bayis Rishon, when they were able to observe Yovel. So that takes it down from 1270 to 1200.
What is 14 years there till the issue of Eretz Yisrael?
No, so that it seems that's only the Yovel still began, even though it took 14 years Gilgal until they possessed land, but the moment they entered, it doesn't matter. The laws of Shemitah and Yovel, they had to still eat. The laws of Shemitah and Yovel were still in effect, even though they did not yet conquer the land. As long as they possessed, they entered the land. You're asking very good. This all has to be worked out.
Talks about it.
And what does it say? The first 14 years?
It's
Machlokes. When they came in the first...
Machlokes when the Chalukah...
14 years.
When they came into the land...
Or when they divided... Or 14 years later.
So let's... It starts off with Tvilin.
So what is 1,200 divided by 24?
50.
Oh.
You mean 1,200 divided by 50?
By 50.
24.
Yeah. 24 cycles. Fascinating. What's the significance of 24 cycles? The Chassam Sofer says, first of all, when it says that when it says that Shmuel and David, the passing in Divrayam be'emunasam, which means they're through Ruach HaKodesh, it was given over to them that al-pi Ruach HaKodesh they should expand the Mishmaros from Moshe's 8 to first 16 and then 24. So what is the significance? The Chassam Sofer says there's a very, very halacha, which when you learn the Gemara, remember, learn it's a very disturbing halacha, that if someone donates property to the Beis HaMikdash, Cherem, you dedicate your assets to the Beis HaMikdash, and you don't redeem it, it becomes property of the Kohanim. Kol Cherem la Kohanim Yiyu. Now, which coin gets it? Do they put it into a big pool and all the Kohanim they divide equally? What? Oh, the Mishmar that is on duty in the year, on the day in fact, on the day when Yovel occurs, Yom Kippur. What?
Is it movable
or
only karka?
It's only karka. I believe it's only karka. Okay, those details have to be analyzed. I don't know all the details. I don't know. But there is such a concept called chayim lakoyhanim yu. If a person donates his assets, land, and he chooses not to redeem it, then it goes to the koyhanim when the year of Yovel comes. So and who gets it? Which koyhanim? The koyhanim who happen to be on duty on that day that Yovel is triggered, which is Yom Kippur. Whatever the... So it's not fair. All these koyhanim, a small select group, there are 24 mishmaros of koyhanim, and on one of 24th of Klal Yisrael gets all of the land. It's not fair. Why should the other 23 parts of the koyhanim, the other 23 mishmaros of koyhanim lose out? There was probably millions of dollars at stake because people donated property. People donated property for all the years during the 40, 50 years of Shemitah, and now they decided not to redeem it, and the Kehanim get it. So what about the other 23 parts of the Kehanim?
The Kehanim were actually in the ship.
1/24 of Klal Yisrael. Let's assume. We don't know the details.
So it's really not that much money each.
Okay, no, we don't know how much was donated. We don't know. But still, in all, just from an abstract analysis, it appears to be not fair. Because if the Kehanim are divided into 24 Mishmaros, and there is money to be divided among Kehanim, why should only 1/24 of the Kehanim receive that distribution? Whatever the distribution was. Who knows, maybe some years it can be billions of dollars worth of land. We don't know what it was. So the answer is exactly the point that when Dovin and Shlomo, when they divided, expanded to 24, because now they knew up in Ruach HaKodesh exactly how many years there would be a Yovel would be in effect. How many years Yovel be in effect? Approximately 1,200 years. When you divide 1,200 by 50, every 50th year is Yovel, it's 24. And they went in cycles. So always, every single Mishmar had a chance to get the distribution when it came out. So this is an incredible hashkacha. I mean, I always wonder, what's the significance of 24? What's the significance? So, I mean, obviously, there are a lot of different ideas that you can say. What the 24, you know, there are 24 matnos kahuna, gifts the kohanim get. There are different ideas. You can look in Chazal, what is number 24? But here is just a mathematical analysis. It was established from the very beginning that there should be 24 mishmaros, so that since it was known, how long, for how many years the Yovel would be in existence during the time of the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and the time when they lived in Eretz Yisrael, there should be an evil distribution for all of the Kehanim throughout history. Of course, in their one lifetime, it's not going to work out. But throughout the big picture of history, each Mishmar, when you go through the cycle, as they rotated, we have to assume, you have to look at all the math, they rotated and it was arranged that way, they would receive a portion. Okay, that concludes Kina Yud. Now let's go on to Kina Yud Aleph. Kina Yud Aleph is the Kina of... We did Kina Yud Aleph. That was the Kina of Yaikonin, Yirmiyahu Yeshayahu. That was the Kina of... And we did Kina Yud Beis, Oholi. We did. So we're up to Kina Yud Gimel. That's where we're up to. Kina Yud Gimel is Eiko. Eiko is where we take the word Eicha, and we break the word Eicha into two parts. Eiko. And here in this Kina, we take a collection of psukim in Tanakh that begin with mitzvos, or very are highlights of yadlus that begin with the word ko. Like for example, ko yihyeh zaracha, the ultimate brach that Hashem gave to Avram Avinu, that even though you fear that you have no children, Eved is going to yerush me, Eliezer is going to yerush Avram, Hashem said, do not fear, look at the stars of heaven. Birchas koyhanim, koy sivaruchu es b'nei Yisrael, kriyas yamsof, koy amar Hashem, kachatzois halayla ni yoytzei b'soch Mitzrayim. Okay, the Geula came with the word ko. Koi soma livnei Yisrael eke shalachani eschem. Kematan Torah was down with the word ko. Ko soma livnei Yaakov v'sage livnei Yisrael. So all of the beautiful highlights of history, of Jewish history, began with the word ko. And in this kina, we mourn that all of these things have been lost from us. Okay, I wanted to say a little bit of a drush, is that, what does the word ko really mean? Ko does not mean it's going to happen. Ko means this is really the way it should be. Koi Amar Hashem. This is what I want you to do. Or ko sevaruchu es b'nei Yisrael. Did they actually bless Klal Yisrael? Well, there are a lot of conditions that have to be met in order that they can succeed in giving the bracha. Ko is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's his will, his desire, his ratzon. What we mourn in this kina is that we don't even know what our hasagos should be. Now, sometimes, like you have a dream. Before you can fulfill the dream, you have to know what your dreams are. So forget about will the Kohanim bless us, will they not bless us, will there be gula not. You have to have hasogis of what should be. You have to have hasogis of what is Torah before you can come to the next step and bring that dream into fruition. We mourn in this kina eko. We have no hasagas. We mourn over the fact that we're willing to settle for nothing. Our hasagas are extremely minor relative to what we can yearn for. So it's really a mourning for our hasagas. Okay, kina yudalit. Kina yudalit is a kina that discusses various events in history where the geula, the kates, the zman of Mashiach was suddenly concealed, was hidden from us. The most notable is Yaakov Avinu. Hey Osvu, v'yagidu lechem eis ha-shayikru eschem bi'achris hayomim. I will reveal to you what's going to happen at the end of days. And what happened? And as they all came close, all of a sudden the Shechina left, and it was revealed to you that Yaakov Avinu realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want him to reveal the Zman of Mashiach. You see this towards the end of the Kina. The middle of the Kina, where it says, I'll read you the words, Yashvu v'sho'alu lo'ov leida. They sat and they begged Yaakov Avinu, the Shiftei Ka, when will Mashiach come? Zman Kates Haplaos Mosa Yisvada. The time of the end that is wondrous. When will it be known? Yikav Liom, they waited, they yearned to know the day Liom Yeshua, but Veloy Noida. But it was not known. Ad ki viito yuchash viyisvada. We beg that it should come. Its time should come quickly and be known. Yisvadaros libam nistaloku v'chi v'nichsa mehem v'lo yuchalu. Okay, all these various expressions of where Klal Yisrael, they had a tremendous yearning to know from Yaakov Avinu the Zman of the Kates Hayamin of Mashiach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed it. And in this kina, there are other expressions in the beginning of where it was revealed to other great people when Mashiach would come, and they were not allowed to reveal this information to Klal Yisrael. Why? So Chazal say it's all for our benefit, because if we would realize that the Zman is really at a very late time point in time in history, then many people would have been miyayish, would have given up hope from the coming of Mashiach, and that could have had a very, very disastrous effect upon Klal Yisrael. Okay, but that's pretty much the theme of this kina. In the beginning of the kina focuses more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the time that He created the world, He already knew in the advance that when the Migdash would be built and be destroyed twice, and there would be a process of Churban and Geula until the ultimate Geula comes. There's also another interesting thing in this kina towards the end of where it plays with the word Ayeka. Ayeka. It's towards the middle. Dove libo kivot biasar. Adam Harishon. Again, Adam Harishon, when it was revealed to him, Piruach HaKadosh, that there would be a galus, there would be a churban, his heart suffered when he saw the enemy would come into the Beis HaMikdash, vayikoinein olav, and he mourned over the Beis HaMikdash, eicha be'ayeka. Ayeka means, where are you? This is a very popular drush. Rabbanim like to focus on this idea. Is eicha also can be read, ayeka. It's the same letters as when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam, when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, ayeka. Where are you? Adam responded, I'm hiding. I was hiding. I heard your voice in the Gan and I was afraid. So I went into hiding. Ayeka, Hashem's call to Adam after he sinned was Ayeka. So here is this idea, this Chazal is mentioned here in this Kina. You know, it fits well because the previous Kina we already focused on the word Eicha is Eiko. Here in this Kina, we refer to Adam HaRishon, the Musa that Hashem gave Adam HaRishon by saying to him Eicha, but here it's read Eiko. Where are you hiding? You can't hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you sin, there are consequences. And there's nowhere to hide. And therefore, the Musa is a person should be careful not to sin. Yeah.
The Yotzko footnote on the bottom, page 200, he says, and I'm quoting, thus they are taken as an illusion, in Ayeka, Echa, that the ultimate cause of the destruction was Adam's initial sin. Is that a valid?
Yes, of course. You don't need me to Chazik, the art school. Who's the Iker? who's the Iker and who's the Tuffel over here? Let's put everything in the right perspective. Of course, everything is rooted in Adam Harishon's chait. The chait Eitz Hadas is the shoyrech of all chait. Adam Harishon, by eating from the Eitz Hadas, by violating the commandment of the Shbaruch, we brought into this world the koyach of chait. And every chait is traced back to Adam. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how was Hashem's response to Adam HaRishon after he sinned? Ayeka, where are you?
It's like it's forecast. I mean, if this is the balance.
Yeah. No, well, that is one of the big, that is, you're touching upon one of the big mysteries of creation. How could it be that a man has free will when HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're going to do? That's what do you call that in English?
Paradox.
How could it be if Hashem knows what I'm going to do, so I'm forced to do what He knows I'm going to do? I don't have free will. If I have free will, then Hashem can't possibly know what I'm going to do. Isn't that a contradiction? That is probably the toughest question in Yadus, in religion. In understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have to understand ki loy machshavosai machshavosichem v'loy darchichem d'rochai. It's not a contradiction. We have free will, even though Hashem knows what the future brings. And Adam HaRishon is the first example. Adam HaRishon, Hashem created the world. Adam was given b'chirah chavshis. He has sinned. Hashem's response is ayeka. Adam, you, part of your chait is you think, you fool yourself into believing that you can hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says you can't hide from me. That's the message. And that is the major theme of Tisha B'Av. We read Eicha. Eicha is Ayeka. Where do you think you're hiding? You can't hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so let's go to the next Kina. That was Kina Yudal. Kina Tezvav is the longest Kina in the Kinas. It's an extremely complex Kina. We mentioned this yesterday. It focuses primarily on the third Perek of Eicha. Now, if you remember, when we learned Eicha, Eicha has five Perakim. The fifth Perek was added later on. The original Perakim of Eicha are Perek 1, Perek 2, and Perek 4. These Perakim were written originally by Yirmiyahu, and they were given to Yehoyada, to the king. And Yehoyada, he went and he took it and he burnt the Megillah. In response to burning the Megillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyahu to rewrite it, plus add another chapter, chapter Gimel, and in chapter Gimel, it will be Shokol Kineget Kulam. Aleph, Beis, and Dalet had one pasuk per letter. Perek Gimel will have three pasukim per letter. And it was basically the response. You think, you know, it fits very well, it follows very nicely from the previous kina. The previous kina focuses on Adam HaRishon, that he foresaw. First, the kina is Hashem knew what's going to be. Adam knew what's going to be. Yaakov knew what's going to be. Other tzaddikim throughout history knew what's going to be. That's really the theme of kina, kina yudal. The kina yudal is everyone. There were certain people in history that already knew in advance what is going to be. And Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we refer to Adam's, then we refer to Ayeka, where are you hiding from? It's the same thing when it comes to the Melech, to Yehoyada. After Yirmiyah, he burnt the Megillah. After Yehoyada burnt the Megillah, so Hashem says, what do you think? You think you're going to burn the Megillah and you're going to hide from me? You're going to hide from your sins? You're going to destroy the Megillah? Not only will I tell Yirmiyahu to rewrite the Megillah, he'll rewrite it double. It'll be a kefel. He'll rewrite the three parakim, plus he'll write another parak, and that parak will be intensified three letters, three psukim for each letter of the aleph base, to intensify the galus, to intensify the sin. You can't hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the emphasis of kina yud, kina tesvav, to elaborate in detail upon parak gimel of Megillas Eicha, the repetition, Hashem's response to those that think they can deny Golus. It also has a tinge of focusing on the Toichacha. We mentioned the Toichacha was back in Kina Yud. Kina Yud, no, not Kina Yud, it was Kina Tes. Kina Tes was the Toichacha. Likewise, Tesvav is also a Kina which does touch upon the Toichacha. It is a very, very long Kina. It's the longest Kina. It's probably equal to three or four of the other Kinas. It's extremely long and extremely complex kina. And I'll confess to you that I used to speak sometimes on Tisha B'Av, prepare the kinas. I used to listen to other people, to shiurim and to different events, and I've noticed that just about every single event, kimat b'liyotzei min haklal. You know, today you go on. If you don't go online, you go dizzy. You can do on Tisha B'Av. There's enough things to do on Tisha B'Av for a whole year. How do you have time to go to the Holocaust Museum over here in Borough Park and to watch the Project Inspire video and to watch the Chafetz Chaim video, two versions of the video, and then to go listen to? There's no limits what you can do tomorrow on Tisha B'Av. But from all these programs, I've happened to notice that this is the favorite kina not to skip. This is everyone's, like, a certain kina is everyone's favorite to darshan. This kina is everyone's favorite kina to skip. Last year, for the first time, I went to kinas and where they skipped, I would say, more than half. And this one he didn't skip. This one he actually did. The Rabbi Schwartz, he's a rabbi over here on Coney Island, he's focused very much on this kina tesvav. It was the first time in my life I heard someone dwell upon this kina. From my youth, I remember that this kina tesvav, they take note, and it's extremely difficult, it's very long, and unfortunately, time is limited, people's patience is limited, so they focus on some of the kinas that are a bit easier to comprehend. Okay, let's go to kina tezayin. Kina tezayin is a very important kina. It's zechar. We discussed this. We had a shir on this kina alone. Zechar asher osot tsar bifinim. Titois HaRasha. When Titois HaRasha came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we came into the Beis HaMidosh. Actually, this took place today. Today is Ches. This is the anniversary. According to the Medrash, according to Chazal, I believe that Titois, everything that it says here in this Kina Tezayin, took place on Ches Av. Today is Ches Av. Tomorrow is Tes. Sunday is Yud. So today is the anniversary of Zechar Sha'asa Tzar Bifinim. Shalaf Charba Bov Lefnai Lefnim. He drew out his sword and he entered into the Lefnai Lefnim. Nachlasenu B.A.C. terrified. Okay, B.A.C. is a very, very frightening word, especially in this generation. This generation, the word terror has become part of our language. And Nachlasenu B.A.C. Kitine Lechem Haponim. Now the focus, we discussed this, but the focus is not so much the destruction. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash took place on the ninth day of Av. The focus of the Ches day was the defilement. It's a very important distinction between being metame, defiling, contaminating the Beis HaMikdash, versus destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The Avonim, in the time of Hanukkah, they had no desire to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It would be a beautiful museum. beautiful tourist attraction, place to make some good money. You can it's a place for an institute, a study. They did not want to destroy. Titus wanted both. He wanted first what did the Yavanim want to do? The Timu Kol Hashemonim. They wanted to contaminate Klal Yisrael. Titus, in effect, was worse. Edom was worse. And Mechol is the expert on this matter. How Edom really is a conglomeration of the other three Goliaths: Bavel, Modai, Yavan. Edom really, first he spent the day contaminating the Beis HaMikdash, and then he spent the day destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Kina Tezayin is the contamination, and it describes that he contaminated the Lechem Aponim, he contaminated the Kodesh HaKodashim. Okay, now there's one thing, one spent a lot of time on this, is that this Kina is very interesting when we study history. Because in history, what is the one thing that Titus did that we know he did? Or at least that it's at least we assume he did, the Arch of Titus. Yeah. What is embossed, what is etched into the Arch of Titus? It's on the front cover of the FJJ, the menorah. Right, the menorah. They carry, well, at least we assume it's them. We discussed yesterday, it's not Mochach, it's the menorah, but we assume it's the menorah, it's close enough. They carried away the menorah. And by the way, who are the people carrying the menorah? I always assumed it was captives, right? On the Arch of Titus, who is depicted as carrying the menorah? I always thought it was Jews who were slaves. They were captives carrying it. I read somewhere recently that not necessarily. They could be they were Romans. Romans that were bragging there, but they, from the picture, it looks like they were pretty disheveled.
Regular soldiers
carrying Romans. Roman soldiers? Lower Roman, they look like they were...
Lower level.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know. Are they Roman soldiers who are carrying the menorah in that pit, the Arch of Titus, or those Jews?
In archaeology, very often when they want to show somebody who was a Jew or a Semite, they look for a beard.
Yeah.
I don't think these guys have
a beard. So you have to assume it was the Romans. But they look like, they look very schwach. They look like they've been tortured carrying the menorah. So, I don't know. Okay. Something to check into.
As a support
space. Yeah.
Each soldier, they say there's two or three people
logistics.
Bringing in supplies.
Right.
So this could have been the schleppers.
Okay, but, I don't know. I just want to point it out because I was always brought up that the Arch of Titus is the menorah, and the people schlepping the menorah were Jews. There were 97,000 captives, and they humiliated them. And part of the humiliation was they made them schlep the menorah in front of the parade. This was a depiction of what took place during the parade in honor of Titus and his father Aspasianus. But I read yesterday somewhere that no, these soldiers are Roman soldiers carrying the menorah. So we have to be mindful.
The picture also, you see a guy carrying a Roman standard in the background.
Yeah.
So it looks like that.
Soldiers. Okay, could be. Now one thing I want to point out is that in secular history, what have they taken? The menorah. Notice in this Kina, there is absolutely no mention of the menorah. Look at that. It says there's Sholof Chaba Babol Lufnaiv Lufnaim. Nachlasidabias Kitime Lechem Aponim. Only the Gider Paroichas. He stabbed the Paroichas. Okay, then it goes on to say let's see.
The Gemara yesterday didn't say the menorah, it said Kalim.
The Kalim. Benavshenu Tovanu Kihoitzi Kle Shores. The Somom Boani Shait Bom Lihi Shores. Okay, then it does not make any mention that he took away the menorah. So the answer is, what did the menorah represent? The menorah represents there was a miracle that happened every day in the menorah the menorah, they put enough oil to last 12 hours. Miraculously, the menorah lasted for 24 hours. And Chazal comment on this miracle of the Ner Maravi, Eidus Shehashchina Shara B'Yisrael. And the fact that we are still here today, 1,945 years, is the greatest Eidus Shashchina Shara B'Yisrael. So to think that Titus, he took the menorah, he conquered the menorah, is a lie. The Arch of Titus, it may depict that he's carrying the menorah. But when Chazal, Rabbi Elazar HaKalia, wrote a kina, what did he take away with him? He took away the shulchan maybe, the lechem upon him. We have trouble with parnasa today. The lechem upon him is parnasa. But don't make any mistake. He didn't take the menorah. He may have taken the physical menorah. But the real menorah, the menorah which represents the Eidos Shehashchina Shara B'Yisrael, that he didn't take away. The fact that we are still here today is the ultimate Eidos Shehashchina Shara B'Yisrael, and the Arch of Titus is nothing more than a big lie. It's a big lie. You think you have the Eidos? Netzach Yisrael lo Yishakeh. I have here a favorite vard. Now this can also makes mention of the Koisel HaMaravi, a very popular topic to talk about on Tisha B'Av, that the Altsad Maravi Lezecher Hisrid Bo, that on the west side as a memorial he left as a remnant. We know that was not really the case. He really commanded his officers that they should knock down all four walls. It's just that that wall did not come crashing down, and the officer, the general that was in charge to take down that wall, he made up a Baba Mice and he told Titus the reason why I did not take it down was because I wanted to give you honor. I wanted to give you honor that people should see a monument to you of what you have accomplished. So he accepted it, but it also he paid with his life. The rule was that if you outsmart the general, then you have to be executed. So that will, but from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's point of view, is the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Shechina to remain on the Tzad Maravi. And the Tzad Maravi on the other, you have to also remember the Tzad Maravi, why the east wall, why the west wall? The west wall, why not the east wall? Why not the Dorum and the Tzafain? The answer is because the Maravi is what's behind the Beis HaMikdash. What's behind the Beis HaMikdash means it's symbolic of Golos. There were 11 Amos in back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the end of the Azara. The number 11 is not a very good number for us in Klal Yisrael. Achad Osa Yom, the sixth parasha, Mechorev Derech Har Seir, it represents Golos. There are 11 Alufim. Esav has 11.
That's why the Barbanel, unless the Malbim says that, why is it, what's the symbolism of Achad Osa Yom Mechore, because it says that you think the 38 years they wanted in the Midbar, but it was really 11 days worth of travel, and you just took
your time.
Oh, what could have taken you 11 days? And so, only 11 days from Chorev, my friends.
It's critical. There's a critical element in the number 11. There are 11 princes, 11 Alufim in Esav, which represents that the Western Wall means we should always remember that Esav is over our shoulder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, on the one hand, the Shekhinah is resting upon the Kaisel HaMaravi. Hashem is protecting us. But He's also reminding us that He's protecting us from what the number 11 means. The number 11 is from Esav. It's the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, so here is a topic of the Kaisel HaMaravi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed to remain standing. And then it mentions at the end over here the story where there were 400... Was it 400 or 300? I always the different stories of young children that gave up their life. They were taken to Rome for immoral purposes, and they chose to give up their life in rather than be defiled by the Romans. And that we discussed. This is the response to Titus. Titus defiled the Beis HaMikdash. The response to defilement is sanctity. The ones who can bring into this world the greatest degree of sanctity are the Tinoikoi Shel Beis Rabban. Titus, he entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Mokum of the Kruvim. A Kruvia is the Tzur of a child. Titus tried to defile the Kedusha, the greatest Kedusha in Klal Yisrael. The greatest Kedusha in Klal Yisrael is found in the children. The response to Titus' defilement is to acknowledge that the children are the ones who have the koyach to bring enormous kedusha into this world. You know, when you study the Asara Gemalchus, learned about Rabbi Akiva, he gave up. Rabbi Akiva, after he was preparing for the Kiddush Hashem for 120 years, Kol Yomai, all of my days, I was waiting for this moment when I can die al Kiddush Hashem, to say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What about these children here in this story? There were 400 children taken on a ship. to Rome for immoral purposes. They realize what's happening, the girls and the boys. They realize what's going to happen, the girls first, then the boys. And they threw themselves overboard in order that they should not be a partner in this Avera. Where did they derive this inspiration, this Kedusha, to give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem? It's an incredible thing. In a way, it's even greater than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva at least prepared for this for 120 years. Where did they prepare for this? This is the response to Titus. You think you can defile the Beis Hamikdash by going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the place with the Kruvim? The Kruvim is the Kravya, the children. The response is, our children will bring into this world Kedusha beyond your wildest expectation. It's not limited to the Mokm of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Throughout the world, the children, they are the ones that bring Kedusha to this world. Okay, there's another idea that I'm very fond of. There's a very big mystery here. It's not a mystery, but it says there are 93 Kalim. He came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim the morning after the 8th, they were very, Klal Yisrael was very disturbed. Oireinu nama kihishkim mishares, our skin melted away when the mishares, the ministering priest, entered early in the morning. Similarly, this means the next morning, on the 9th day, on the 8th day, Titus came in and defiled, and he cleaned out all the kalim. V'loi matza tishim u'shloisha klei shares. And the 93 klei shares were missing. What are the 93 kelim? So this is a Gemara Mishnah Masechta Talmid. Mishnah Masechta Talmid says that if you make the calculation, there were exactly 93 utensils used every day in the Beis Hamikdash for the various korbanos. The Yerushalmi elaborates and explains why 93, because in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, Ezra and Nehemiah, Hashem's name appears exactly 93 times. Hashem Yerushalmi 93 times, so that's why there are 93 kelim. There's a problem, because if you count the number of times Hashem's name appears in Ezra Nechemiah Divrei Hayamim, you're not going to find 93. You're going to find, so you have to be very creative in figuring out how there are 93. But that's a Yerushalmi. You can't argue with Yerushalmi. You just have to understand what Yerushalmi means. That's why that's an explanation for the Mishnah that says there are 93 kelim. However, there, I want to say a drush. What's the significance of the number 93? Because it already says, in the previous part of the Kina, that he took away the Kalim. He carried away all the Kalim. B'nafshenu tovanu, our souls sunk. Kiyoyitzi klei shares. So why does it say again, Oireinu nama kihishki mesharets v'lemotza tishim u'shloisha klei shares? How many Sanhedrins were present in the Beis Hamikdash? How many? Sanhedrins. There was the Sanhedrin HaGedoyla, in the Lishkas HaGazis, which had 70 members. It's Machlitz, the first Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, was at 70-71. And then look on any diagram, any good diagram, in the Ezra's Noshim, there was the Sanhedrin Kitana. There was another Bezdin station, 23. What is 70 plus 23? 93. 73. 70 plus
93.
What a huge...
70 because it was Zugas.
Zuga? What do you mean Zuga?
No, that's the Machloikis of Moshe.
Moshe Agaben. It's the Machloikis in the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It's Machloikis between Rabbi Meir and the Chum is at 70 or 71. For right now, we're going to be Makel. We're going to say it's 70. Okay, 70. Shivim Zakenim. Moshe Agaben. 70 plus 23. So, that's 93. A human being is the ultimate Klei Sharis. Afar, a man, it comes from earth. He's mixed with water. Afar min hu'adam is a klei shares. A human being is a klei shares. And in the morning, when the mishares came into the Mikdash and saw that the Sanhedrin HaGadol was batal, and the Sanhedrin Ketana was batal, the 73 klei shares who serve Hashem, who serve Klal Yisrael, this is where our skin melted off our body. There are two parts. First, when he took away the menorah, he took away the shulchan, took away the mizbeach. Nu, it says here, b'nafshenu tovanu, our neshama sunk. But the next morning, when v'lo matza tishim u'shloisha klei shares, doesn't just mean the 93 kelim that we use for the korbanos. It means the 93 members of Sanhedrin that served Klal Yisrael with distinction and dignity. When we no longer had these leaders, this was the end. This was a very terrible thing for us. Okay, there's another idea I want to bring out here. A very difficult idea is Vayimadeit Kav Kimarei Adamdom. when Titus came in the very beginning of the Kina, Zuchash Oth Tzad Bifinim, Shalaf Chaba Bavol Lefnai Vlefnim, Nachlatsin Bis, he terrified our inheritance, Kitimi Lechem Aponim, the Gider, Parechas, Palash, Teifonim, he stabbed the Parechas, we discussed that, the blood came out. Yesaimim Giel, he defiled the orphan, an orphan nation, Bimogain Ma'adam with a red shield, the shield was full of blood. Vayimadet Kof, he measured a line, Kemarei Adam Dam, he made a line, that a red line. Now, I really honestly don't know what this means, Alderch Pshat. Never knew what this meant. Not that I ever really tried to understand what it means. He measured. The art scroll, in interlinear, it says, and he measured them for death along a line whose appearance was blood red. Now, what does that mean exactly? Explain Alderch Pshat. He took, he lined up the Jewish people and he made a red line and he killed them on the red line. I really don't know what it means. I have no clue what this means. A red line. But there's one very popular Dvart. What? Edom, obviously, Adamdom. But what is the Vayimad? He measured a line. Kimare Adamdom, whose appearance was blood red. Al Derech Pshat, I really have no clue. I looked here and there. I have a lot of kinnas. I never really found anything that was satisfactory. I'll pshat.
Well, Mara Adam is what the Kohen sees in when he's looking at Sarah.
Negalov on Adam.
Okay.
So, in some kind of
illness,
perverse comparison to that.
Also, what does it mean, Mogin Ma'adam? I don't even know what that means. A Mogin Ma'adam, he giel, he defiled Yisrael. In the art school, it says the Yisrael refers to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is now becoming a nation that's an orphan, with a shield that's red. What does that mean, Ash? A red shield? It means terror. You come with a red shield, you're terrified? Is that what it means?
All the blood.
The blood is on the shield? There's something missing. I don't know. I really don't know.
I want to say that. So when he referenced the Saras, which I was thinking, that because that, what is Saras is for Lashon Hara, that was one of the reasons for the destruction of the Beis
Hamikdash. Saras is Lashon Hara. Okay. So these are more Jewish. Al Derech Pshat, a lot of the lines in Kinas, Al Derech Pshat, it's very hard. But and these lines, I really don't know. It's such a popular Kina. I listen to a lot of Darshanim. I never really, yeah.
Saras is also a reference to Edom.
Edom, okay. Adamdom, Odoim.
Beyond that, the term Saras, there are four terms.
Sapachas.
Right, there are four terms, and the last one is the general one, Saras, which refers to Edom.
Okay, so Al Derech Pshat, I confess, I don't know, but I want to suggest a drush. A drush, and the drush is this is a popular drush. That's one connected. There's a halacha that if you are in charge of a Beis HaKnesses, you want to do renovations, you're not allowed to knock to destroy a shul until you build another shul. That's the halacha. Yeah, because if you knock down, demolish, everyone goes away for the summer to the mountains, and in the summer you knock down the shul. Who says when they'll come back from the mountains, the shul will still be? They will have rebuilt the next shul. You have to first build a new shul, and then you can demolish the old shul. So how was Hashem allowed to destroy the Beis Hamikdash? Hashem also is bound to halacha. He's not allowed to destroy the Beis Hamikdash unless he has a replacement ready for us. So the answer is that in Hanami, Hashem already made the preparations. And this is a pasuk in Eicha. It's in Perek Beis Pasuk Ches. I'm going to turn, if I can find it quickly, in the Siddur over here. I should have Eicha here in the beginning. In Perek Beis Pasuk Ches is where Chazal make this drasha. Perek Beis Pasuk Choshav Hashem Lahashchis. Choymas Basin. Hashem planned. And what did he do? Noto Kov, he sent forth a line. What does that mean, a line? What he sent forth, Al Derech Pshat, what does it mean? He the surveyor's line, I don't even know what it means, Al Derech Pshat. We learned this together. But the drasha is, Kov is a plumb line. It's the first thing you use in construction, not in destruction. When you want to build a building, you see all these guys out there on the street, right? With all these funny kalim, all these expensive strings and old high-tech things they say. They use all these new gizmos and gadgets to go and to survey and to spread the plumb line to make sure it's level, to measure. It's the first step in construction. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned Hashem said, you know what? This Beis HaMikdash has to come to an end. Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, is not deserving. But I'm not going to violate what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, you have to first build another Beis HaMikdash, another shul, before you destroy this shul. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was Choshav Hashem L'Hashchis Choyim HaSpasiyoin, Notokov, first, he began the blueprints for the Bayis Shlishi. In Shemayim, everything already was put in motion, was put in place for the Bayis. We don't see it, we don't appreciate it, but it's there. Notokov. Then the pasuk goes on to say, Hashem went. We went forward. So al derech derush. That's really what it means here. Titus here is coming into to destroy, to defile, and to destroy. But from our perspective, I'm reading Drush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, here is that moment, here is the fulfillment of what it says in Eicha Perek Beis Pasuk Ches. Yisoymim Gil B'Mogin Ma'adam. Don't, Vayimadeit Kov means, who's measuring the Kov is the same word, the plumb line. Hashem. Hashem now is this very moment when Titus is walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim defiling. Hashem is measuring the Kav Kimare Adam Dom. From our perspective, it looks like it's the plumb line is being laid with blood. The blood, the plumb line is soaking with blood, the redness of blood. The Chorban is a Chorban, but we have to realize in the Chorban are the seeds of Geula.
Like it said that the Mashiach is born
is on Tisha B'Av,
or the Mashiach can be found at the gates of Rome.
Mashiach, right, exactly. It's by Hashem is the one who was actually when Titus, he's walking inside. Hashem, through your actions already, he's planting the seeds of redemption. Okay, let's go now to the next kingdom. Yeah,
the human being, you say can't really, you contemplate it, but he has to actually build. Another
base, right, but HaKadosh
Baruch Hu,
he puts into motion. His machshava is already a maisa.
Right,
exactly.
So it went into, it already existed.
Exactly.
And the same way into the third.
Exactly. Okay, let's go to Kina Yud Zayin. Kina Yud Zayin is all about the Petira, terrible tragedy, the loss of children. Can it be that women would eat their fruit? The young children that they cared for. Can it possibly be? Alalaili, woe to me. And this kina goes on. There are numerous expressions of almost every single expression is all about the death of a child of all different ages, from infants to toddlers, adolescents. It's all about the petira of children before their time. We once mentioned that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, relatively speaking, what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu died? The Klal Yisrael, they mourned him for 30 days. Vayitzmu yimei v'chi evel Moshe. After 30 days, enough is enough. They stop crying. When a child, Rachmana Litzlan, dies, Nodav v'Haviv, they were considered to be children relative to the adults. The whole Bnei Yisrael, I don't know the whole passage, Yivkues Hasreifa Asher Soraf Hashem, Beloshen Osit. There is no Nechama for the loss of a child. The mourning does not come to an end. And in this kina, we reflect upon the horror of the petira of children. And the very end of the kina is very, very frightening, where it tells us, you want to know why the children died? It's mida k'neged mida. What is the mida k'neged mida? V'ruach, the very end, V'ruach HaKodesh L'mulam Marim, V'ruach HaKodesh responds, thunders back to Klal Yisrael, Hoy al kol shechene horim, woe to all of my evil neighbors, referring to Klal Yisrael. Mashe hikra om modiim, they complain about, they publicize, they complain what has happened to them, but they don't want to tell you why it happened to them. They know why they are being punished, what the midik negamid is, the eis asher osu loy modiim. They don't want to reveal to you the reason why, Rachman al-Islam, this terrible tragedy happened to them. And what's the reason? The Kina tells us. Now, today, for you, today, anyone would dare today tell you why a bad thing happens to a good person, you're finished. Right? Because no one today has Ruach HaKodesh to say why bad things happen to good people. But in this kina, the Kalir tells us why it happened. It says, "In tochalna noshim piryam mashvim." They complain. Why? How could it be that women with their own children, vim yehoreg b'mikdash Hashem koyin v'navi loy mashmiim? It was the murder of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. That's the reason why the tragedy happened. The murder of Zechariah, we discussed at great length before, is because what was the chait of killing Zechariah? He was someone else's child. Yehoyada was the Kohen Gadol. He was the one that saved Klal Yisrael. He's the one that saved the Malchus of David. He hid Yoyash HaKohen in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years. He organized a conspiracy to overthrow Asalia and to crown Yoyash as Melech. He raised him, he guided him, he brought Klal Yisrael to enormous heights. And this fellow Yehoyada had a child. And Klal Yisrael, the most basic duty they had towards Yehoyada is to have some hakaras hatov and to be good to his child. And what did they do to his child? They murdered him in cold blood on Shabbos, Yom Kippur, in the Beis Hamikdash, while he was giving a sermon. And he's telling us here, the chait of Klal Yisrael is, you did not show mercy for someone else's child. Nida k'neged nida. That's why we read about the horrors of this kina. This is what the Kalir is saying. This is not what I'm saying or anyone is saying.
That was what the men did.
What?
That was what the men did, not the women.
What the men did. But it's Klal Yisrael. It was the moral climate of society. Everyone was guilty. If the men can do such a thing, it's because everyone was cheering them on. If such a thing could happen, the event captured the moral climate of society. Everyone, it was guilty. That's what it says. Everyone was guilty. And I'm not making this up. This is what it says here. It says over here is, do you want to know why it happened? The murder of Zechariah. What's the murder of Zechariah? Well, let's read the pasuk. See, this is very misleading here. I mean, that's the thing. There's a whole explanation. We discussed this. If you go to Divrei Hayamim, it doesn't make any mention. He was a kohen, he was a navi. It says clear. V'loy Zochar, when they murdered him, they did not remember his father. They did not remember the chesed, the good, and the chesed that this person's father did for Klal. It's clear as day in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that the chait was, how do you go and murder the child of someone who did for you so much? Someone else, you don't care about someone else's child. Midi k'nega mida. This is what it says over here. It's very, very frightening. That's what it says in the kina. Okay, so that is kina yud zai. We discussed already last week. Let's go to kina yud ches. Kina yud ches is, there's a theme of ata and lama. We complain in this kina, how could it be that you've made so many great promises? There is a rhetorical question. So you've made all of these promises, and that's the major theme, these two words over and over, ata, you promised, how then can you do something so horrible to Klal Yisrael? Okay, there's one very interesting one line here that is very, very fascinating. It's towards the middle. Atot titesa shishim ushmoinim. Lahavi goy shomer emun. Beautiful expression. Titesa means you swept away 60 and 80. Who are the 60 and the 80? How many descendants did Yitzchak Avinu have? The article actually explains this. Avraham. Avraham, 60 refers to Avraham. Avraham had, how many descendants are listed in the Torah for Avraham? Avraham's descendants. 60. Avraham had 60 descendants. From the 60 descendants, which one was the only one that I could, everyone, Hashem, he swept away all of them except for Yitzchak. And the 80 are the 80 descendants of Noach. Noach had 80 descendants after the Mabel, long list in the end of Parashas Noach, all of his descendants. Hashem swept them all away, and the only one he left was Shem. Shem, from Shem came Klal Yisrael. So it says over here, Ata Yu Hashem, Titesa, he swept away the vast majority of the Shishim, of the 60 descendants of Avraham, only to leave over, only to focus on Yitzchak, Ushmoinim. He swept away the vast majority of the 80 descendants of Noach, and only to focus on Shem, Lahavi, in order to produce the nation, the Goy, the nation, it's a beautiful expression, Shomer Emunim, the one who keeps the faith. Keep the faith. Be Shomer Emunim, this is Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to Kino Yud Tes. Kino Yud Tes is Tziduk Hadin. Tziduk Hadin. After a funeral, we say Tziduk Hadin. And on Tisha B'Av, we say Tziduk Hadin. And it's all about L'cho Hashem Hatztaka V'lanu Boshes Haponim. That's really what it's all about, is to acknowledge, to accept upon ourselves responsibility for our sins. Kino Chof. Kina Chaf is a tribute to Doniel Ish Chamudos. Doniel Ish Chamudos was the first person to be successful. I shouldn't say the first, Yosef was also, but referring after the Churban Bayis Rishon, after the Rishon, we don't appreciate, we live in Golis for 1,925 years, to us it's no big deal, Golis is Golis, you know? So we're here, we're very comfortable, we can survive in Golis. But when Klal Yisrael was living in Eretz Yisrael, during the time of the Bayis Rishon, 410 years, and really it's already, they were 440 years before that, they never thought they could survive in Golis. When the Churban happened, there was a very big question if Klal Yisrael would survive. Can we really survive without our homeland? We have Torah, we have a lot of things going for us, but are these things enough? A nation needs their own land. They need their own mokoyim. Can Klal Yisrael really survive? And this was a very, very big dilemma. The one that proved that you can survive as a Shomer Torah Mitzvah Singalis was Doniel. Doniel Ish Chamudos. He was taken to the palace, he served in the palace, he's the first one, he was the first Abarbanel. The first Abarbanel was Doniel. And he paved the way for us, for Klal Yisrael, to survive in Golis. And he's the one that was Mispalil Hatei, these are his words, Hatei Elokai Oz Necha, listen to the insults. Lisif Letzes Mina Etzes Mili Vashamayim. Two, those wicked people, those frightening ones who blaspheme HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying, is there anyone really in Shanayim? Is there anyone really that's listening? Is the Ribbono Shel Olam still paying attention? So Hashem's still in business. So listen to their insults. Ushema. This is the theme of this to we beg Hashem to listen and to bend your ear. Ushema Hatei. Ushema. Following in the line of the theme of Doniel. Okay, Kino Chaf Aleph is Arze Halavanu. We had a shiur on this. Are the Asara Haruge Malchus. Kino Chaf Aleph, to a certain degree, begins a new theme in the Kinois. Because until Kino Chaf Aleph, we're focusing primarily on the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Now we focus on the Misas Tzadikim. It's a whole different. It's a new shift. The Misaf Tzadikim is the Beis Hamikdash. That's one Churban. The loss of the Shechina, the Beis Hamikdash, the homeland. And now, Tzadikim. Chazal say the loss of a Tzadik, the Betir Tzadik is Shakol Kineged the Churban Beis Hamikdash. It's a different focus. And in Golis, even though these Tzadikim, they died, not all of them, but many of them, at least five of them, they were killed Beitar, Harugei Beitar, they were killed at a later point in time. It's Shakol Kineged the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Okay, let's go to Kino Chaf. Kino Chavbeis is the first of four kinois that are referred to the Crusades. Okay, there are four kinois in Tisha B'Av that focus on the Crusades. Kino Chavbeis, Chavhei, Chavtes, and Lamed Gimel. Kino Chavhei goes into great detail. It's an historical account of exactly what happened. Kino Chavbeis is just a general description. There are no dates, there are no locations. It's a general description of what happened during the First Crusade, 1096, in Germany, along the Rhineland. There are mainly three main we focus in Kino Chavhei focus on three main cities: Varmiza, that's Worms, Shapira, Speyer, and Magencia is Mainz, these three cities in Germany along the Rhineland, and they were decimated by the Christian Crusaders. There are some extremely powerful words. If you go a little bit, it discusses the controversial practice of people giving up before the Crusaders would come and would torture them and take away their children, send them to missionaries. They committed suicide and they took their own lives. If you go and you read a little, read some of the words of the Skina, Vinisvadu, I'm jumping down like it's halfway down, Vinisvadu Bifrishos of Itahara. They separated between Shavutahara, the Kadesh, Shem, Hagadol, the Hanoira. The Ish, Esachif, Chizku, the Ezra. Each one was Machasik, his friend. The Dabik, the Yira, Tahoira, to embrace Akadosh Baruch Hu with fear wrapped in Tahara. Bli Kroy, Lavoid, the Zar, not to bow down to the idols. I'm reading a Chav base. It's like halfway down. Lidabek beyir v'tahara b'li kiraya la'avoid zara v'loy chasu gever gvira. The parents did not show compassion for their children. Albanim tzifiras tifara on their children, which was the crown of glory. Aval ozru gevura yisera. The parents, they girded themselves with courage. Lahaloim roish, to smash the heads of their own children. The likroitz shedra, to sever the spine of their children. The elaymoy dibubami, these words are very powerful. As the parents murdered, shouldn't say murder, Chazal used the word, they sacrificed their children, they said to their children these words, loy zochinu ligadelchem latorah. We were not zoicha, we did not merit to raise you latorah, and therefore we have no choice but nakrivchem. We have to sacrifice you as a sacrificial offering to oila, like a carbon oila, the haktorah and ketores. The nizke imachem, the parents said to the children, do not worry, we will be reunited with you. Lo'oira hatzefuna me'ein kol valuma, to the hidden light that's hidden from all of us. L'chulu. Okay, it's kedai to spend some time to read these words. The words are extremely, extremely powerful. Again, it's one of four kinas. Let's go very quickly. We're running out of time. Let's go to Chav Gimel. Kina Chav Gimel. Kina Chav Gimel is the Ben Ubas of Rebbe Yishmael. The famous story, the two children of Yishmael, they were king captives. Each child by a different captor, and they planned to marry them off to produce offspring. They discovered what was going on, and they died. Why? Because the Crusades, the very good question. Seemingly children. The great, you see, what it appears is that the great Churban of the Crusades was the loss of children. There's an enormous emphasis in the keynotes, if you take note, on children. The Crusades, like we just read, V'loi zuchil l'gadelchem l'toira. The emphasis is that the parents had to take the lives of their children. They should not be taken by the Crusaders. And here we focus on another element of Churban of children, of the Ben Ubas of Rabbi Shmuel. In the Holocaust, 1.5 million children died. There were almost no survivors. And you know, it's kedai to read. I read a little bit of the book and have time, but Hanach Teller just published an incredible book called Heroic Children: Untold Stories of the Unconquerable. And in the book, he writes that there's very little besides the diary of Anne Frank. Okay, since the diary of Anne Frank, which was published, how many years ago? 50 years ago? I don't know, 50 years ago? There's very little. There's an enormous amount of literature and studies about the Holocaust, but there's not that much about the Holocaust from the perspective of a child. So in his book, he has eight children. He brilliantly puts you in their minds. Eight children.
He's a Leib Zeisman.
Yeah.
Sure. Right? Down there. He was also a young child.
Right, but I'm talking about a publication. So he puts you in the mind of eight children, only like he can. You know, he's a koyach of ksiva, who can write like Hanach Teller, and he puts you in their minds, and he takes you through their experience in the Holocaust. It's a very unique work. It's a unique work. It fills there's a very big void in this Miktsoya of children of the Holocaust. So here we have the kina of the children, the Ben Ubas Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, let's go to kina Chavdalid. Kina Chavdalid is the kina Chavdalid focuses on all the various parts, all the various parts of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, the Beis Hamikdash, the Masechet Midos, Masechet Yoma, you can break up the Beis Hamikdash into an infinite number of parts, the various kelim, all the beautiful things, and here it breaks down all the various items piece by piece in the Beis Hamikdash, and we mourn on each one at a time. There's another kina later on that does exactly the same thing, even in more detail, but this kina, again, breaks down the Mikdash into all its parts. Kina Chaf Hei, we already mentioned, is the second kina of the Crusades. Kina Chaf Hei is not, it's, besides the emotion, it's more historical. It describes in detail how many people were killed, the dates. It was right before it was Rosh Chodesh Sivan, in the Varmiza, in Mainz, in Speyer, goes through, and it's an historical account of exactly what happened. Kina Chavav, Kina Chavav and Chav Zayin, they go together. They go together. Really out of order. It should really be Chav Zayin and Chavav. And this is the story of where Yirmiyah, when he leaves Yerushalayim, he meets a woman, what appears to be a woman dressed in black, enveloped in black, and he says to her, "Who are you? Are you a demon or are you a human being? Why do you look so sad? What has happened?" So just, "I'm not a demon. I'm not a person. I represent Knesset Yisrael. I am in mourning because my children have gone into exile." And she says to Yirmiyah, "The only hope is you should go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should mevakesh rachamim, you should mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should have rachamonis upon Klal Yisrael." And then we go into the other kina where Yirmiyah goes to the Kavarim, he goes to Moshe, he goes to Aaron, he goes to the Ovos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he goes to the Mos, and finally Hashem says he goes to Bil and Zilpah. This is one of the very rare kina, so there's actually a mention of Bil and Zilpah. Bil and Zilpah, they're pounding with their hand on their chest. How often do you have in Chazal any mention of Bil and Zilpah? Who are they? They don't even hear about them. You don't even know they exist. But here we find that they're pounding with their hands on their chest in great mourning over the Chor Beis HaMikdash, and he's mispal, and Hashem says, "Shuvu vanim limnuchaschem." Hashem says, "Indeed, I." The king doesn't say this. The Medrash says that Hashem really responded to Rachel, because Rachel went and she gave over the simanim to Leah. In reward for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there will be gula. But the king doesn't say. The king seems to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the collective tefillos of everyone, of the avos, of Moshe, Aaron, and the imos, all the imos. Hashem listened. Hashem took down a golas. Now there is one riddle that I want to have focused on. I find this a very, very beautiful and very nice idea, if I may say so. There's a very funny riddle. I always wondered about this. I'm sure you've all wondered about this. Yidu Ha'isa, when Yirmiyah meets this woman dressed in mourning, he says, Yidu Ha'isi b'shuva v'nachas. Once upon a time, I was known to be a woman of tranquility and rest. And she says, "Hei le'echad, I am one, and oni v'lishleisha, I am three, v'shishim, I am 60, v'achas, and one, u'lishnei masa, I'm 12, v'shiv v'achas, and I'm 70, v'achas, and one." And then the kina goes on to say, what are all these things? One means Avraham. Mm-hmm. Avraham was our father, the first. Shloisha is the Shloisha. So we repeat Avraham twice. He gets honorable mention twice. Shloisha is the three Avos. Shishim are the Shishim Riboy. Achas is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Omid Al Gabehem. Shnei Mos are the Shiftei Ka. Shivim are the Shivim Zikain. V'achas. Shivim Achas. There are 71 members of the Sanhedrin. Shivim. V'achas Al Gabehem. Moshe gets mentioned really twice. Moshe, Shishim, just like we have Aaron that gets mentioned twice, Moshe also gets mentioned twice. What is going on over here? So I think the answer is very simple. Count up all the numbers. Count up the numbers. Mathematicians, everyone have your calculator ready? 1, 3, 61, 12, 71. Anyone have a number?
148.
Excellent, 148. What is 148 big gematria? That's one of the most important numbers. The most important I'm not a gematria member, but that number is the most important gematria. Pesach. Pesach. Okay, but Pesach. We have a kina coming up soon. Bitseisi Nimitzrayim, Bitseisi Nirushalayim. Yirmiyah sees this woman. She's dressed in black. She is sad. She is in a state of mourning. Yirmiyah says, "Who are you?" She says, "I am Knesset Yisrael. I am in Avelos. My children have gone into exile. I remember the good old days. The good old days. I was one, I was three, I was 60, I was one. In the good old days, I was Pesach. I was in the status of Bitsesi Mimitzrayim." You see, this kina very well parallels the kina Bitsesi Mimitzrayim, Bitsesi Mirushalayim. She's complaining over here, "I'm now in the matzav of Bitsesi Mirushalayim, but in the good old days I was in the matzav, I was Pesach, I was Bitsesi Mirushalayim." Okay, let's run very quickly. That is kina of Zayin, kina of Ches. Is another kina for... This is Michal's kina, the kina of the Dalid Malchios. The Dalid Malchios, we go through great detail, okay, we can't go, there's a lot of good stuff here, but we are out of time. The Dalid Malchios. Kina Chavtes is about, now this is a very big mystery. There's a lot of interesting, the kina Chavtes is assumed to refer to the crusade, the third kina on the crusade. There's no mention of anything about the crusade in this kina, zero. And the article says it's the crusade. You look at all the kinas, they say...
Rabbi Lezer wrote it, right?
This was written by Kloinimus HaKotan. Kloinimus HaKotan, not by a different person. Kloinimus HaKotan wrote this kaliyah. This there. Chavtes. Kloinimus HaKotan, so therefore, if you look in all of the commentators, they all tell you, yeah, this is the four... Everyone knows. Who doesn't know that in the Ashkenaz version of kinas, there are four kinas for the crusades? This is number three, and it fits. It fits the theme, fits. You can't deny it. But it doesn't say anything about it. And it talks that there are certain tinges of the Chanukah theme. Eim Habanim Semecha. So I have a home of Kinnis, and an old Kinnis, and not an old Kinnis, but a Kinnis, and it says there that this Kinnis he found in a Ksav Yashan, that this Kinnis was composed for horrors that happened during the time of Chanukah. We know that Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah was a nitzachon after 50 miserable years. The Geferlach Hatzaris for 50 years that were very similar to the Crusades. If you study the history, there were very striking similarities. It's a very big chiddush to say such a thing, because that's taking back a kina to a time way before kinas were composed. Okay, the kina, during the time of the middle of the Bayis Shem, the miracle of Chanukah took place in the right smack in the middle. We don't have kinas that go back to such a time. It's a tremendous chiddush to say that this kina was composed during that time and survived this long. Or you want to say someone wrote it later on, it's based upon tradition of what happened at that point in time. It's a very interesting idea. It answers a lot of questions. Because if you study the kina, you'll see there's a lot of Hanukkah-related themes in this kina. It doesn't say anything about the Crusades, so why does the article and everyone say it's the Crusades? Okay, it's a chiddush. It's something interesting to keep in mind in kina Chavtes. Okay, kina Lamed. We're going to run down very quickly to the end of the kinas. Kina Lamed is... Give me 1 second, turn to the page. Kina Lamed is about Tzaras. It's a beautiful kina where basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kohen, he comes to inspect the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem looks at the Beis HaMikdash and says, uh-oh, there's a Nega Tzaras. We have to quarantine the Nega. Hashem comes back, it gets worse and worse. Hashem says, the Bayis is a Nega. You have to demolish the Bayis. So it puts the Beis HaMikdash in as if the Beis HaMikdash is a Bayis, a Beis HaMenuga. Kina Lamed Aleph is a very beautiful kina. It's Eish Tukad V'Kirbi. There's a Nigun to sing this kina. It's traditional to sing a certain Nigun, and you use the first part, you sing loud, the second part, you sing quietly, until the very end, B'Shuvi L'Yerushalayim. Okay, Kina Lamed Beis is... Kina Lamed Beis is similar. We have another kina like this. We go through every little detail of the Beis HaMikdash, the kaftorim, the kaseres, and the every little detail. I go through every the gefen, the pareches, the kiar, the karbonos, the vovi hoamudim, the nechoshes. You go through the whole Tanakh. Every time you find a reference to something, some detail in the Beis HaMikdash, here we mourn over the minute details. We don't just mourn over the big picture. You have to mourn also over the details. There's the big picture, and there are the details. That's what we focus on. Kina Lamed Beis. Kina Lamed Gimel is The fourth kina for the Crusades. Kina Lama Gimel is kina number four. Okay, there's some powerful stuff here. It talks about the tzel, it talks about yirasam kishkishu v'osos hikishu v'osi ikshu. When they marched, the Christians, they marched with the shesi v'erif. They shook it. They terrified us. There's a lot of graphic detail that we're not really familiar with, and that is presented over here in Kina Lamed Lamed Gimel, the fourth of, and has the dates also, Tatnu, Zman Shnas Tatnu, Bekol Lamachzer Renu, talks about the cycles of the moon. It's a very, that is Kina Lamed Gimel. Kina Lamed Dalid is, Kina Lamed Dalid is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, was written by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and it focuses on the blood. We discussed this, the details of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Okay, this is the second kina that we mentioned already, the first kina of the banim, im toichal nashapir yom alalaili. Here we do the same thing again. Here we focus on when the Vuzardan came into the Beis HaMikdash and he saw the blood was bubbling. Why is the blood bubbling? And he made an investigation. It was discovered because they murdered Zechariah. He then had all a significant group of qualities shall murdered in order to appease the blood of Zechariah until the blood stopped bubbling. And then he made a kal v'chomer and he became a ger tzedek. And from him we learned the Gemara. Rabbi Meir came from the Vuzardan. It's a very important kina. Kina Lamedalit parallels the kina of Ayla Laili, the kina of Imtochal Nanosh Imperium. Kina Lamed He is Kina Lamed He. What was Kina Lamed He? One second.
The last line of everything is the word Yehuda, because he wrote it.
The acrostic is Yehuda.
But also the last paragraph that has the word
Yehuda. Okay, Kina Lamed Hey focus is the beautiful. The main theme is the very end, where it says not Mamshem, but Al Tismichi Oyafti Al Shever Karni. My enemy, don't rejoice. It's really winding down. This really towards the end of the kina. Don't rejoice over my downfall. Kina Falti Kanti. Just because I've fallen, I will rise once again. I will rise for Hashem Azarani. It's optimistic. We're winding down. Enough mourning. Don't go and get too depressed on Tisha B'Av. You have to be optimistic. You have to rise up from the ashes. That is the theme of Kina Lamed Hey. We're coming to an end. We're going to rise up. And that really pretty much concludes the kinos. Then we begin the third section. You divide this into three sections. The Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That was the first section. Then we focus on starting with the Asar Gimalchus until is the kina of tragedies of individuals. Of the Asar Gimalchus. Of the children of the Crusades, of details in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not focusing on the big picture, focusing on more on the people, individuals, and details. And that will, and then we kulamit, hey, we were optimistic, we give me a falti kamti, and then we begin a series, a whole new theme of kinos where we basically we praise Hashem. We praise what we have lost. Instead of mourning, the different ways to mourn, you can mourn by crying, and you can mourn by trying to appreciate what you have lost. And we begin now all of the tzions. A long selection of tzions, which start with the famous kina of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, tzion haloi sishali l'shloim asireich. Okay, if they would give an award for poetry, this is it. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the reputation, there's no one that can match. No one can match the koyach haksiva, the beauty of his poems, of his kinois and piyutim and poems we have from him. I think we have a few hundred of them, maybe even 1,000. They've even published recently new things they have from him. He was an extremely holy person. The Kuzari is a sefer that is one of a kind. In the Kuzari are all of the Yesoidus of Yadus. The Ramban gives him high praise. All of the Rishonim, they praised him very much. The Ramban, I think the Rashba, they were very taken by the koyach of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. And the biggest mussar for us is that he had a very good, comfortable life in Spain. He was a doctor, he was a physician, he had a family. He gave it all up. His family, his position, his security to go to Eretz Yisrael. The chibasar, it's more than the piyot, is the person. Some people are larger than life. It's funny, his piyot, no, there's the message, and there's the message, and there's the man. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, we discussed this, we know nothing about. We don't even know who he is. We don't know when he lived. But we have his words, we have his message. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, we know who he is. Forget about what he wrote. There's just what to learn from him by looking at the person. There's the person versus the mission. There's the man and the mission. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is the mission. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is the man. And it comes out in many ways. Okay, the expressions over here are very powerful. Livka, well, probably the most powerful line is Livkois enuseich. When I cry over your suffering, ani sanim. I'm like a jackal, some type of creature which makes shrieking sounds. But the ace echeloim shiva shivuseich. When I dream of the return of Yerushalayim, ani chinar. I produce beautiful sounds, l'shirech, to sing your song. Okay, then we're not going to go through the other ones. All following the star. Everyone here is a copycat. I'm saying these are kedoshim with the hoydim. We don't come to their the speck of dust on their toenails. The kedoshim wrote the following kinas, but they all follow in the style of Rabbi Yehuda HaKalir to bring out the beauty of tzion in many ways. That's kina lamed zayin, kina lamed ches. Kina, Mem, three more kinos describing, written by different people, describing the yoifi, the same theme, the same idea, describing the beauty of Yerushalayim, focusing on the positive. And then we come to Kina Mem, and Kina Mem Aleph is already a new Kina. Kina Mem Aleph is the Sreifa Satalmud. Maran Meranberg, the Sreifa Satalmud, the reason why it's included here, I'm not sure how it got into the end. Maybe it was really, wasn't necessarily written in the last, but it's written in the style of the Tzion. Shali Sreifa V'esh L'Shlem Aveilech, so we discussed this, is the Sreifa Satalmud. He was present, he was 22 years old in 1242 when he witnessed the burning of 24 carloads of manuscripts, 1,200 manuscripts, 200 years before the printing press. The loss was enormous. This was the end of French Jewry. There was an expulsion not much later, and it was a very horrible tragedy. Okay, Kina Mem Beis, again we go back to Tzions, more Tzions. Kina Mem Gimel is another Tzion, and Mem Gimel and Mem Dalid are more, two more Tzions. Mem Gimel and Mem Dalid are Tzions. More Tzions, and then that really winds it down. Now, some people have customs, they add other kinas. They say, for example, kina for Tach, for Tach Vitat. The Khmelnytsky massacres of 1648, 1649, that's very important. There are kinas that are written by the Tosfos Yom Tov. Some people will say it here. And then, of course, there are kinas for the Holocaust. The Holocaust, they're very popular. Probably the most popular, I'm assuming, is Rav Shimon Schwab. Rav Shimon Schwab is a very beautiful kina, very easy to understand. It's a very long kina, very powerful kina. And then from the Baba Varebi, and from many of the Hasidic Rebbes, they wrote kinas for their kihilos, and many people had it's a very wonderful thing to recite these kinas. Then we wind down with Elit Zion, the Areha. We discussed that at length. We had some ideas of Elit Zion. We discussed the mystery of why we stand for Elit Zion. There's really no need to stand for Elit Zion. We really can say it sitting down. For some reason, we all stand up. And then we go back and we say Shemrain. Shemrain is the same kinas, kina hey. It's a repetition. Kina Shemrain is repeated twice. It's kina va, it's kina hey, and it's kina mem vav. Exactly the same thing. The conversation between Ahalah and Ahaliva, between the Aseres HaShvatim and the Shnei Shvatim, which one of the two suffered more. And then we wind down with the Atah Kadosh. We wind down with Ashrei. We have positive words. And then we have Ashrei Volitzion, Kaddish B'leit Eskabel. And this year should be the last year of Kinais B'Soich Avelis. Okay, we'll take a very short break and we'll have an abridged version of Parsha. Just a few things on the Parsha.